A Katra Podcast Conversations for the Curious Essential Knowledge Simplified, your gateway to essential ideas that matter most. Welcome, curious listener. Have you ever stopped to wonder why some of the most powerful stories, you know, the ones that really grab you, often explore, well, the darker side of things, like novels full of obsession, maybe forbidden desires, even outright destruction? It feels a bit weird, doesn't it?
It can, yeah.
But what if those dark stories aren't just for shock value? What if they're actually like a key to understanding something really fundamental about us?
Indeed. And that's exactly what we're diving into today. We're looking at this through the lens of Georges Bataille's work, specifically his book, Literature and Evil. It's pretty provocative.
Provocative is putting it mildly, I think.
Right. Bataille basically suggests that literature's true power, its real purpose, isn't about teaching morals. It's about fearlessly exploring everything society tells us is forbidden.
And in doing that, it reveals truths about being human that we often prefer not to look at.
Exactly. Deeper truths, things often left unsaid.
And it's quite a journey he takes us on. This deep dive isn't really about judging books as good or bad in the usual sense.
No, not at all.
It's more like a completely different way to look at storytelling itself.
Yeah.
It's a bit of a shortcut maybe to those big aha moments about why we're so fascinated by stories that push the limits.
And it's about getting that essential knowledge, you know, quickly but properly by looking squarely at humanity's, well, suppressed desires and the sometimes uncomfortable truths tangled up with them.
It definitely forces you to confront some challenging ideas.
It does, yes. But by doing that, it actually gives you a much fuller picture of what it means to be human, especially now in a world that feels overloaded with information and kind of shifting moral compasses.
Right.
Bataille's ideas can really help you look past those easy judgments, you know, to grasp the deeper psychological stuff, the social forces that are always at play in life and definitely in art.
Okay, so before we get into the book itself, let's maybe unpack the thinker behind it, Georges Bataille.
Yeah, let's do that.
Born 1897, died 1962. A French intellectual. And intellectual almost feels too small a word, doesn't it?
It really does. He was a true polymath. I mean, his interests were incredibly broad. Philosophy, sociology, he wrote novels, literary theory.
He even trained as a librarian and archivist. That's quite a mix.
It is. And that wide range of experience gave him a really unique perspective, I think. It put him in a perfect position to write Literature and Evil.
How so?
Well, his whole philosophical project, really, was dedicated to exploring what he called the heterogeneous.
Okay, heterogeneous, big word. What does that boil down to?
Basically, think of it as everything that our nice, orderly, productive society tries to exclude or push to the edges.
Ah, so the messy stuff, the unpredictable.
Exactly. The wild, the unruly, the excessive, anything that doesn't fit neatly into the system. His other big books, like The Accursed Share or Eroticism, Death and Sensuality, they all circle around these ideas.
Ideas like transgression, the sacred.
Non-productive expenditure, sovereignty. All central to Literature and Evil. And the key thing is, he wasn't just thinking about these things academically.
Right, he wasn't detached.
No, his work has this intense, personal, almost mystical quality. He didn't just want to understand these forces, he seemed to want to experience them.
Which gives his take on literature a really unique weight, doesn't it? A kind of provocative authority.
Definitely.
And you mentioned his background. He was even involved with the Surrealists for a bit in the 20s.
Briefly, yes. But get this, he apparently found them not radical enough.
Wow, not radical enough. That says a lot about where his head was at.
It really does. He wanted to push boundaries even further.
So, okay, bringing this back to Literature and Evil, what's the core idea? You said it's not typical literary criticism.
No, it's much more philosophical. It's asking, what is literature for? What's its real function?
And his answer is?
That literature finds its true purpose, its essence, when it dares to talk about the very thing society needs to forbid to maintain order.
So it's about confronting the excess, the sacred, the forbidden things we usually try to suppress.
Precisely. If you think about it, our social world is built on rules, on prohibitions, taboos against violence, certain kinds of sexuality, sacrilege, even just pure wastefulness.
Rules we need for stability, presumably.
Absolutely necessary for stability. But Bataille argues Those very rules create a deep human longing for the things they forbid, a longing for what he calls sovereignty.
Sovereignty. Okay, that term feels important here. What did he mean by that exactly? Not like political power.
No, not political power. For Bataille, sovereignty is a state of being. It's being an end in itself, totally free from usefulness or productivity.
Can you give an example?
Think about moments of just pure, intense experience, like uncontrollable laughter, or maybe profound erotic ecstasy, even deep grief or rage in a way.
Moments where you're just in it, not trying to achieve anything.
Exactly. You're completely present, not striving for a goal, not being useful, just being. And society, which is built on utility and looking towards the future, always tries to kind of tame those moments.
Oh, okay. I think I'm starting to get it. So literature then, through writers like, say, Emily Bronte or the Marquis de Sade, it gives us a way to explore that transgression, that sovereignty, but vicariously, safely.
Yes, exactly. It's socially permissible because it's contained within the story. It lets us access a more complete, maybe more dangerous truth about ourselves without actually blowing up our everyday lives.
And he argues the writers aren't just depicting evil acts.
No, the writing itself is an act of transgression. They're violating the norms, the accepted morality. And in doing that, they open a door to what Bataille calls the impure sacred.
Impure sacred. Not the usual kind of sacred, then.
Not the orderly, comforting kind we get from mainstream religion. This is the violent, intoxicating, sometimes terrifying sacredness of the forbidden. It shows that the monsters, the dark desires and stories, aren't just weird exceptions. They're expressions of something fundamental, something untamed within all of us.
That definitely poses a big question for us, doesn't it? Like, who are we if we only ever look at the good parts of ourselves?
Right.
So the book's ambition is huge. It's basically trying to redefine literature as this necessary, almost religious activity.
Pretty much.
And it's really for you, the listener, if you're willing to face some uncomfortable truths and look beyond the usual judgments to understand those deeper forces shaping us and our art.
If you're ready for that challenge, yeah.
Okay, this is where it gets really fascinating, I think. Bataille doesn't just talk theory. He walks us through specific authors to show how their work fits his ideas.
He does. It's like a guided tour through the Forbidden Library.
He starts by saying literature is sovereign, an end in itself, right? Not just communication for a purpose.
Right. And it's born from what he calls a guilty consciousness. Our awareness of rules, of what's prohibited, is actually what creates the desire to break them.
So literature explores that urge. The yearning for intensity, for a life lived without worrying about consequences.
Which inevitably leads it towards exploring what society labels evil.
Yeah. And his first big example is Emily Bronte's Wuthering Heights.
Yes. And his take is, well, it's not your standard interpretation. He sees the love between Catherine and Heathcliff not as romantic, not really.
Not romantic, but it's one of the great love stories.
For Bataille, it's something else. It's a fundamentally antisocial, destructive force. Their passion doesn't recognize any law, any morality, any social rules outside of itself.
The famous line, I am Heathcliff.
For Bataille, that signifies a complete dissolution of the individual self. They merge into this single, sovereign being that just violently rejects the ordinary world.
And their love is, what was the term, non-productive expenditure.
Exactly. It doesn't create anything useful. It doesn't build anything. It just generates its own overwhelming intensity, which ultimately leads to death. And death, for Bataille, is the final sovereign moment, the ultimate escape from utility.
So Bronte, in his reading, shows how real intense passion always clashes with social order.
It inherently transgresses, yeah.
Okay, next up, Charles Baudelaire.
Ah, Baudelaire. Now here, Bataille finds a writer who, he argues, consciously chose evil as his artistic path, even his spiritual one.
With Reflouvement, the Flowers of Evil.
Right. The title says it all. Baudelaire systematically finds beauty in things society deems ugly, sinful, or morbid. Bataille thinks Baudelaire saw that modern life, bourgeois society, was suppressing the sacred, anything that wasn't rational and productive.
So defying that morality was the only way left to find intensity, to reconnect with the sacred.
That's the idea. Embracing sin, embracing suffering, it became a kind of theological rebellion for Baudelaire, a desperate attempt to find transcendence by going towards the darkness, not away from it.
Then he shifts gears a bit, historically, to talk about witchcraft. Through Jules Michelet's book, La Sorcière.
Yeah, it's an interesting move. He's fascinated by Michelet's depiction of the witch's Sabbath. He sees it as a perfect example of a collective transgressive festival.
Another form of that sovereign expenditure.
Exactly, but communal this time. It was a rebellion against the church, against the feudal order. The rituals, orgies, sacrilege, they systematically inverted all the dominant rules.
And the figure of the witch.
Symbolized humanity's repressed energies, the chaotic side, breaking free. It was about finding a forbidden kind of ecstatic release, a different kind of power.
Then we get William Blake.
Yes, Blake. Bataille sees him as a prophet of energy, of desire. Blake's Proverbs of Hell, things like the road of excess leads to the palace of wisdom.
This sounds very Battalian.
Doesn't it? It's a direct echo. Blake basically flipped Christian morality on its head. He argued that what religion called evil, like passion, bodily desire, excess, was actually the core of life, the essence of holiness.
Oh, holiness of evil.
That's the phrase Bataille uses. Transgression isn't sin for Blake. It's the highest spiritual path, a way to liberation.
Okay, now for the really extreme one, the Marquis de Sade.
Sade. Yeah, this is where it gets difficult. Bataille calls Sade's stance integral monstrosity.
Meaning
Sade takes individual sovereignty to its absolute terrifying endpoint. If my personal freedom and pleasure are the only things that matter, absolutely.
Then other people just become objects, tools for my gratification.
Precisely. Which leads Sade to philosophies that justify torture, murder. Truly horrifying stuff. Now, Bataille isn't endorsing Sade's actions at all. That's crucial.
Right.
But he analyzes Sade's work as a vital, if horrifying, thought experiment. Sade pushes sovereignty to its absolute limit, revealing the destructive potential hidden within that very desire for total freedom. He's the limit experience.
A really chilling reminder of where that path could lead. And then, maybe surprisingly, after Sade, he brings in Marcel Proust.
Yeah, it seems like a leap, doesn't it? From Sade to the elegant salons of Proust's In Search of Lost Time.
But Bataille finds evil there too, beneath the surface.
Oh, yes. He focuses on themes like obsessive jealousy, hidden vices, subtle forms of sadism, the decay of the aristocracy, Proust's incredibly detailed analysis of sin and hypocrisy. Bataille sees that analysis itself as a kind of intellectual transgression.
How so?
Take the narrator's jealousy over Albertine. He dissects her every move, reduces her to an object of suspicion. Bataille calls this intellectual sadism. It shows that evil isn't just about big violent acts. It operates in the quiet psychological violence within relationships too.
Wow. Okay. And finally, he looks at Franz Kafka and Jean Genet.
Right, bringing it more into the modern era. With Kafka, think of the trial. Joseph K. is consumed by guilt, but he doesn't know what crime he's committed. There's this huge arbitrary law looming over him.
And Bataille sees this as
a metaphor, really. Like a child feeling guilty before adult rules they can't possibly understand. It reflects the arbitrary nature of all societal prohibitions, how they can feel crushing and nonsensical.
And
Genet, for Bataille, is kind of the ultimate modern example. Genet didn't just write about evil, he lived it. He was an orphan, a thief, a prisoner. But he took that abject reality and transformed it into poetry, into art.
He embraced being an outcast.
Totally. He consciously inverted morality, aiming for a kind of sainthood based on betrayal and degradation. His whole life, his work, became this continuous act of defiance against the system.
Okay, wow. We've definitely covered some challenging ground there. So let's try and pull out the main threads. What are the key takeaways Bataille gives us?
Well, there are a few big ones that really change how you might look at things. First, that core idea of transgression and the taboo.
Right, the idea that rules don't just exist to be followed.
Exactly. The rule itself actually creates and intensifies the desire to break it. And breaking it isn't just naughty, it can be an ecstatic experience because it's forbidden.
It really is like that do not touch sign effect, isn't it?
Yeah.
Suddenly touching it feels incredibly important. The forbidden fruit?
Precisely. Then there's sovereignty. We talked about this. That state of being, that's just an end in itself, totally free from being useful or productive.
Those moments of just being.
Mm.
Intense laughter, maybe dancing just for fun, even deep emotion.
Yeah, moments where you feel completely free, totally present, not aiming for any goal, just pure experience.
And they feel important, those moments, even if they don't achieve anything in the usual sense.
Bataille would say they're fundamentally important. Third, he redefines the sacred. It's not just pure and good.
It has a dark side, too. The impure sacred.
Yes. Things like crime, waste, stuff we find abhorrent. Literature is drawn to this impure side, he argues, because it holds immense energy, immense power, precisely because it's excluded from the nice, clean, orderly world.
So it raises that question. Can something we think of as bad or forbidden still have this powerful, almost reverent pull?
And the last key theme, I'd say, is seeing evil as a path to knowledge and communication.
Okay, how does that work?
For Bataille, exploring evil in literature isn't some moral lapse. It's actually an essential way to understand our primal, non-rational side. And when a book truly moves us, deeply affects us, it's more than just getting an idea. We're sharing a profound, sovereign, emotional experience with the author. It's a connection that goes beyond just words.
Like when a story just perfectly captures a feeling you couldn't name yourself.
Exactly like that, that deep communication.
Bataille's writing, it's dense, no doubt about it, but it's also full of these really sharp, memorable lines that just nail his ideas.
Oh, absolutely. He could really crystallize a complex thought into something punchy.
They definitely stick with you. They make you rethink things.
For sure. Here are a few that really stand out. First, literature is the essential or it is nothing.
Meaning it's not just fluff.
Right.
Not just entertainment.
Right. It's fundamental. It's a pursuit of experience for its own sake. As vital, he suggests, as things like religion or facing death, its value is inherent, not because it's useful.
Wow. So a necessity, not a luxury.
That's the claim. Then there's evil, which literature expresses has for us, in the very measure of its condemnation, the sovereign value.
Yep, break that down.
The very fact that society condemns something as evil is what gives it this powerful magnetic allure. Literature taps into that power, making its exploration of the forbidden even more potent.
So the taboo itself creates the value.
Yeah.
The forbidden fruit again.
Kind of, yeah.
Yeah.
But seen as a source of profound value, not just simple temptation. And this one is key. The truth of literature is the truth of evil, but this truth is unlivable.
Unlivable.
Literature can go to the absolute extremes of human potential. It can reveal truths about total freedom, even cruelty. But Bataille admits you can't actually live that truth in society without everything falling apart.
So literature is like a safe zone, a container for exploring those dangerous truths.
A crucial contained space, yeah. A laboratory for our darkest possibilities, maybe.
And lastly, literature is not innocent, it is guilty and should acknowledge itself as such.
Its power comes from its willingness to transgress, morally speaking. Its guilt isn't a flaw, it's the very engine of its impact. It allows literature to explore all the stuff that other ways of talking politics, science, whatever, tend to shy away from.
Okay, this philosophy feels pretty high level, maybe abstract. But you mentioned it has practical applications, ways to look at our world.
Absolutely. Surprisingly practical, actually. Think about understanding media and popular culture.
Grill.
Why are so many people fascinated by true crime or dark thrillers or even really violent video games? Bataille gives us a framework.
Huh.
He'd see these as modern ways we engage in vicarious transgression. They let us confront our deepest fears, our repressed desires, but in a controlled way. There's a catharsis there, engaging with evil without actually doing it. It explains those fascinations that might otherwise seem weird.
Ah, so that's why I binge that dark, gritty crime show. It's tapping into something deeper.
Could be. And it connects to personal psychological health, too.
How so?
Well, this whole deep dive kind of encourages you to look honestly at your own shadow self. Instead of trying to push down every negative thought or feeling.
Acknowledging them is actually healthier.
Yeah.
For a complete sense of who you are.
Exactly. And those moments of sovereignty we talked about, intense passion, sure, but also just unproductive play, like getting lost in music or staring at the clouds.
Yeah.
They aren't just frivolous time wasting. Bataille suggests they're essential psychological needs. We need breaks from constant productivity. We need that sovereign expenditure to feel whole.
That's a really powerful countermessage to our modern obsession with efficiency, isn't it? That being unproductive can be vital.
It really is. And finally, it leads to a deeper appreciation for art.
In what way?
After grappling with Bataille, it's hard to see art as just decoration or just about teaching morals. Literature and evil gives you tools to appreciate art that's difficult, maybe shocking, morally ambiguous.
So instead of just asking, is this good? Or is this nice?
You start asking different questions like, what forbidden knowledge is this offering me? Or what suppressed truth about being human is this trying to show me? It opens up a whole new way of engaging with challenging work.
For me, honestly, this whole deep dive has really shifted how I think about stories, the ones we tell, the ones we consume. It makes me really wonder about the hidden power in those uncomfortable truths. And maybe facing them, even just through a book or a film, is kind of essential for understanding ourselves fully. What really stands out for you?
What really strikes me is Bataille's argument that literature, particularly now, you know, in a world that feels less tied to traditional religion, literature almost takes over that religious function.
Yeah.
It becomes the main space where we can really confront the big stuff, the limits of our experience, the reality of death, the thrill and terror of transgression. His work suggests that it's only by having the courage to look into that abyss, into what society calls evil, that we can actually grasp the full, complicated, maybe even sacred truth of what it means to be human, and maybe question how those labels of good and evil got constructed in the first place.
A profound thought to end on.
It is.
See you next time with another remarkable thinker, another powerful book, and another idea that has shaped our world. This audio summary is brought to you by Ekatra Foundation.